Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's 2:05 on DGS. Dave out for the rest of the day. So he's being profiled by Mike Bush for the work that he's doing, and mostly for the work that Nobody Dies Alone is doing. But obviously Dave has kind of been involved heavily in kind of recruiting people, and he's talked about it here on the show, and it's cool that the organization is going to get some love from Mike Bush. And, of course, that's what's happening. I think they're probably taking care of all of this here now, but I know it's going to be I don't know when it's going to air. We'll find out. Dave will find out, I'm sure, from Mike once they get it all wrapped up. But you can look forward to that on Channel 5 coming up in the not-too-distant future.
Very cool.
So the rest of us just hanging out, doing our thing, and it's time for Razor's Edge. What do you want to hit today?
All right, a couple of things I want to talk about here, mostly food-related, but I thought this was a relevant story, especially to you and I, Wheels, because I know we're both a big fan of the pineapple on the pizza.
Yes. And Andrew, are you you hate it or no? Are you neutral?
Neutral to bad.
Okay, so you're on the more hater side.
Closer to the hater. I'm neutral, but closer to the hater side.
Okay.
At least you're not a full-blown hater. I don't like it when people are like, it's an abomination to put it on the pizza. It's wrong. I'm like, no, you're wrong. It's delicious.
Yes.
I mean, it's not my favorite type of pizza. I don't always get it, but you can get a really good like pineapple and bacon pizza. And, yeah. Thank you. So there's a pizzeria in Norfolk who is charging $125 for a standard Hawaiian pizza.
Wait, what?
$125 just to deter customers from choosing the controversial topping of pineapple on pizza because the head chefs at this pizzeria absolutely hate it. So they don't want to like outright refuse to give it to people, but they're charging an exorbitant price.
Why not just not do it?
I think they're trying to get some headlines.
Yeah.
And it's working because I was like, oh, I'm talking.
Did somebody
about
buy it? Right. But like, nobody's going to buy a $125 pizza, are they?
What
if you brought your own pineapple with you?
Yeah. You bring like the can and you have to like drain it at the table.
You're like, could you give me an extra cup, please? I got to slice this too. I need a knife. That feels like trolling.
It is. I mean, it definitely is. It's meant to be provocative and to get a reaction out of folks. They say, yeah, for $125, you can have it. You can order the champagne, too. Go on, you monster.
Yeah, see,
I don't like being called a monster.
That would make me not want to go there, not because they are doing that with the pineapple pizza, but because to me, you're just a butt. Like, you're just being a butt.
Just a butt.
I don't want to go. If you're that snobby and that much of a butt, I don't want to patronize your business. It's okay if you don't want to have it on the menu. I'm fine with that. It's your business. You can say this is what, if you're a pizza place and you're not serving salmon, okay, you don't have to serve anything. You can serve what you want, and people will either buy it or they won't, but now you're just being kind of a jackass.
I just don't understand why pineapple gets picked on so much. I mean, the anchovy is another controversial pizza topping. I don't know that I've ever had it. I've never had like a strong desire to try it. But I don't judge anyone who wants to eat it.
No.
And they don't get the same amount of hate that the pineapple lovers get.
There was, I can't remember where I saw it. There was actually a pizza place in Italy that started doing it, and everybody was so mad at them.
Like for pineapple and pizza?
Yes. Everybody around them was so mad at them, and then it quickly became their best seller.
Oh, yeah, because it's awesome.
Like, everybody's like, it's heresy! That's heretical! And then people are like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, they did a fancy version of it, right? They did it with, like, fancy fresh goat cheese and some other like toppings and stuff. So they really kind of did it up, and then it became like their biggest seller, even though everybody there was, you know, initially all of the other pizza places, and the locals were super mad about it. And then everybody ate it, and they're like, yeah, this is pretty good.
This is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Okay, the next food-related thing I wanted to talk about, I was looking at this website. It's called thedailymeal.com, and it's talking about all of these different discontinued Pepsi flavors that they wish would come back. I'm wondering if you guys remember any of these. So the first one is Pepsi True. Do you remember this, Wheels?
No.
So it came in a green can, and it was a Pepsi alternative containing a mix of sugar and the natural sweetener stevia. It promised to have 30% less sugar than a regular Pepsi while still providing the sweet taste that you expect. And
when did that come out?
Let me see. When did that come out?
Because I don't think that the...
I've never heard of this
It looks
before.
Old. Just based
Probably
on
Probably 90s?
The, I'm not sure. I should have... I'm sorry. I should have
oh, no worries.
Done
I'm
going to
Google it.
Actually, it looks like it was maybe like the early 2000s or something, just based on the logo. But it also comes in a glass bottle, so it's really hard to say when exactly it came out.
I'll pass.
How about Diet Pepsi Jazz?
Ooh, now you have my attention.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know that I ever had it.
So it was basically like a black cherry French vanilla Pepsi option, and then you could get a caramel cream flavor.
That must not have been sold near me, because I would have been all over the black cherry one. I would have gone crazy for that.
We all remember Crystal Pepsi.
Yep. Pretty lame.
Clear Pepsi, essentially. Pepsi Blue.
I remember that one.
Yeah, remember Pepsi that one? Blue sounds familiar.
It was a youth-focused drink with a berry flavor.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of these things were regional. Like, they were released in certain places, but not others.
Well, this next one is called Pepsi Kona. And it was only launched in smaller markets along the East Coast. So I think you're right. It's they were testing it out, and then it just didn't take off. So
yeah. Because some of these, I'm like, I was a full-grown person when some of these are out. I'm like, I don't remember that at all.
Pepsi AM. This is a Pepsi that you drink in the morning.
Now, this was probably around the time of Jolt Cola, would be my guess, right? Because there was a big time there where they're like, those types of drinks, like the super caffeinated colas, were a big deal.
Yeah, this had 25% more caffeine than your typical Pepsi, making it perfect to give you a little pep in your step in the morning. We'll just do one more and then we'll move on because, wow, I'm talking about Pepsi a lot. The last
I'm
one
fine
is
with it. Checks in the mail.
The last one is Pepsi Fire. It launched in 2017 and it was available for just 8 weeks during the early summer, and it was cinnamon infused.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds really bad. And I used to not like cinnamon growing up. Now I'm like crazy about it. All I want is cinnamon rolls and stuff like that. But cinnamon in my cola, I don't think so. I think that actually sounds pretty darn disgusting.
Yeah, pass. Because if you've ever had like, you know, the Big Red chewing gum.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And then drank anything right after that, not a good combination. Mm. Unless it was water. Mm-hmm. Unless it was water, you're fine. Everything else, it was pretty awful.
Okay, let's talk about something else. 2025 has some banished words coming out of Lake Superior State University.
Banished words.
Yeah. So they, every year they come out with a list of words that they want to banish from our vocabulary. This was released on the first of the year, but it's just now kind of like making the round.
All right.
So Lake Superior State University.
A known...
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah,
I had to...
Never heard of it.
Well, because the story I'm looking at just calls it Lake Superior State, and I was like, is that a college? Let me look this up and make sure. And
where is it? Is it Wisconsin? Is it upper Michigan?
I want to say it's Michigan, Wheels, but I'm not 100%.
Right. I'll say I'm a Michigan guy. I just never heard of that.
Okay, so the number one word they want to ditch in 2025 is the word cringe. They say cringe is overused, so saying cringe can seem cringe now. I feel like we did kind of overdo it with cringe, myself included.
Yeah, I think cringe is becoming cringe, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about that? You know, what's the solution to cringe becoming cringe?
I think that's the nature of all things that become trendy, right? Like any, especially words, but think like styles of dress, whatever. That's part of what ends up making them go away is that people are like, okay, we've done too much of that.
Yeah. Remember Chugi from a couple of years ago?
I do.
Yeah, that one was definitely overused.
But did anybody over 16 say that?
I think, you know, that's a good point because it was the young kids calling the older people Chugi.
Yeah.
Called you guys Chugi all the time.
Behind our backs.
Say, you didn't say that to my face.
I would never.
Okay, and I would have been like, I don't know what that means.
I wouldn't dare.
I don't see the thing is I don't really think of men as being chuggy. It was mostly like a weapon the younger gals would use for us millennials.
For you olds.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, your makeup
for
is
you
so
old
chuggy.
30-year-olds.
Like, yeah, it's like, ouch, that really hurts my feelings. Please stop saying that.
Shut up, brat.
He's little. Okay, so the second banned word is, or this is really a banned phrase, and that is game changer. Again, people just use it too much, and for things that aren't really a big deal, like you could say, like, oh, this Pepsi Fire is a game changer. Yeah. Well, did it really change the game?
I can't give that up because that's such a sports thing that we say all the time.
Well, yeah, and other people appropriated this into the culture, and now you look bad for using it through no fault of your own.
I'm about to go all Mel Gibson. Give me back my word.
Oh my gosh, Mel Gibson. I didn't watch any of his clips from Joe Rogan.
Dude. That guy was huffing something.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet that was like, does anyone who's an expert in this matter have any idea what he's on? Because I want some of it.
Yeah, it was something.
The next word that they want to ban in 2025 is era, used to describe a new phase of your life. And we can blame Taylor Swift for the fact that that is so overused at this point because of the Eras tour.
I still use era.
I'm in my era.
Yeah, you're talking about Eras era.
The next word is dropped, like my new album just dropped. People just want to bring back words like released and introduced instead of using dropped all the time.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's a very specific usage. That one can stay. Because, like, I'm not dropping anything. Like, oh, yeah, gas house gang just dropped today.
You're dropping.
IYKYK, short for if you know, you know. People just say this is irritating. It's nonsensical. It seems forced. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but.
It's not a word, is it?
No.
Oh, you're saying phrases too, right?
Right,
okay,
right.
Okay.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
This is defined as a half-hearted apology masquerading as bold honesty. No, just say what you mean.
Yeah.
Don't say sorry, not sorry. I didn't know we were still saying sorry, not sorry.
I have to say, I haven't heard anybody say it for a while, but I'm all right with anything staying that's all smartassy.
Mm.
Like, we need to keep smartassery. And if it's in that form, that's fine.
Make smartassery cool again.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 7, skibbity.
Oh, uh-oh. No.
They say it's just a filler word. It can mean cool, bad, dumb, or it can mean nothing.
It's like aloha.
It means everything to everyone.
Yeah.
So skibbity should be banned in 2025.
It can be a celebration. It can be a curse word. It can be...
What did you say that one time, Wheels, about a skibbity that made me laugh so hard?
I can't remember.
I can't either. It was like skibbity day to you.
Yeah. It is, honestly, God, I know this is a totally old man dad thing, but it is hilarious to me when grown-ups use that around like 12-year-olds and they get so mad. It is so great. There's honestly, God, there is not. You guys, I don't know if your parents did this to you. My dad did this to me, and it really pissed me off when I was a kid. But it's one of the greatest joys in life is just messing with your kids.
Yeah,
just constantly either embarrassing them, not constantly, occasionally. Embarrassing them or using the words that they use and just seeing how they react. It's so great.
See, my dad would never use like slang or anything to embarrass me. He would just bring up inside family jokes in front of my friends. And I'd be like, Dad, are you serious?
Yeah, no, my dad was much more of the, so like if friends were over, he would be the one that comes in the room and he like wants to take over the room like he's Slappy the Clown. Or... He would do like his big thing. I think he liked making me mad, which I understand as a dad now. I understand completely
because
there's sometimes a little joy in just a little bit getting under your kid's skin for just for funds, not for serious. But like the example was with the day that he was dropping me off for college. We're moving into the dorm. One of his best friends there is also named Kevin. Really fun guy. I always enjoyed being around the two of them. They were funny. They played golf together a lot. But I mean, literally. Every single girl that passed, my dad's like, hey, that's Kevin. He's up on the 11th. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm literally going to punch you in the face, man. I am
what
totally going to punch you in the face.
Doing?
Just keep on moving. Like, don't even acknowledge that it's happening. Because why would you? Why would you acknowledge, you know, some 45-year-old dude, you know, pitching you his son? I think you probably just keep on walking, right?
Yeah, I probably
Is that how you
would.
Met Susan?
No, thank God. That would have ruined everything.
It was like, oh, Kevin's where? On the ladder, you say.
All
castle, I will take you.
That's DGS on KMOX, Rachel, Andrew, and me. I'm Wheeler. Dave is out the rest of the afternoon. He's helping with a profile of the Nobody Dies Alone program that Mike Bush is putting together for Channel 5. So looking forward to seeing that story and how it all turns out. I know how one story is turning out, you guys, because I know we talked about this last week, and I could not stop saying it's a monkey. Because the movie Better Man, Robbie Williams' life story with a CGI monkey, playing the monkey. It's a monkey. I just want to say I think I was right because it's totally tanking. So it's made $1.1 million in the U.S.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, yeah, it basically means about 100,000 people have seen it since it opened in the U.S. That's not very many people in a country of 330 million people. And I guarantee, so here's the interesting thing. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes and you look at the reviews, the critic reviews are like 85% positive. And the audience score is 90%+. So what it tells me is people who don't mind a CGI monkey in the role of pop star love the movie. And everyone else is going, it's a damn monkey. Why would I want to see that?
I think probably part of the problem, too, is Americans have no idea who Robbie Williams is.
I had never heard.
Oh, you never heard of him?
I had never heard of this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably more, like, I knew who he was, but I couldn't tell you a song of his, but I knew his name.
Kevin's like, oh, I've been to Europe.
So he's probably more, he was probably more for people that are a little bit older than you guys.
Okay.
Mm. Like, his real heyday would have been probably when you were kids.
Okay.
And
like early 2000s kind
of
deal?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's probably why the name doesn't mean much to you. Mm. It's doing better in the UK, which is where he's from. But it's less than 5 million there since opening. Ooh. I mean,
oh wow.
It was the 14th ranked movie at the box office in the US its first weekend.
Mm.
And I just want to say it's because it's a monkey. It's a monkey with everyone else being a human being, and I get it.
I don't think it is.
No, it is that.
Amazing
it is
worlds.
That.
I think it's that no one in America knows who this guy is.
Yes, but if you were sold a biopic about a real person who was famous, because you could look at that and go, who's that? And you Google it and you go, oh,
I wouldn't.
That person was kind of famous, and boy, I'll talk about a rise and fall, blah, blah, blah.
Never in my life could I want to watch a biopic of someone I've never even heard of.
I guarantee you that would have done three times better at least if it wasn't a monkey.
But three times better than 5 million is abysmally
bad. I'm not saying it's going to be good like that. I'm saying that it is actively keeping people from seeing it, even though the people seeing it like it.
And then half the people going to see it think it's a Planet of the Apes sequel. And then they're disappointed.
They're like, where's the fighting?
That's where those bad reviews are coming from.
Because for that movie to be like 94% positive from the general public on Rotten Tomatoes means the people that have gone in there have enjoyed it. But the people are not going in there. And I think it's because it's a monkey. I'm going to ask for another ruling. I know I asked the entire group earlier for a ruling, but I'm going to ask you guys, Rach and Andrew, to give me a ruling on this because I saw it on TikTok, which, by the way, if that thing goes away, I'm going to lose a lot of show prep. I'm going to have to start searching other places for show prep because you just get fun ideas there. You got to know what's stupid and real and what's not real. But this was actually a TV newscast from Australia. Where the video comes from, and it was about the pettiest thing that somebody did after they broke up with someone.
Okay,
like the pettiest way that you took digs at them, or the pettiest thing you did in the aftermath of a breakup. So this guy in Australia, printed up posters, like 8x10, like just normal printing paper posters, and put them up all over their town. I think it's a smallish town, and said and advertised a Chewbacca impersonation contest, and to call this number, and it was his ex-girlfriend's number, and just leave the roars and leave your best one. It's going to be a $100 prize for the best one. And she got like hundreds of Chewbacca calls. So how do we feel about
Andrew's like, I like that.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's okay because it's harmless, right? It's annoying.
I mean, she was getting calls. Like, she was being woken up in the middle of the night because she... Now, yeah. You can turn your phone off. You can turn your phone off, dork.
I mean, that's not that hard.
I wouldn't call giving out someone's phone number to the general public harmless.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty wrong.
Well, you didn't identify it as like, hey, this is a young
woman. No, but they can figure it out later, though. Like, after the fact. Now. And, of course, maybe they only know because she's the one that went public with it.
Right.
But still, I agree with giving out, even if you're not saying this is attached to, you know, Sylvia or whatever. Like, it's still giving out someone's private number is not a great idea.
Yeah,
that's really petty and low. But if you're going to do it, the Chewbacca thing's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard of way worse things that people do.
Yeah, there are like legitimately mean and terrible things that you can do with somebody's phone number. And I think being like, hey, call this and leave your Chewbacca impression, I think that's a close to as harmless as one could get.
Now, does it matter who initiated the breakup in this scenario when you're evaluating how bad it is?
If he broke up with her and then also did this, he's a monster.
That's a great point. Yes.
Yeah, like, definitely agree with
genuinely
that.
Genuinely terrible person.
Yes. And if it was a mutual thing, then you're also terrible.
And even if she broke
terrible.
Up with you, like, how much sour grapes can you possibly... Yeah. Like, I just think it's lame. I think the whole thing's lame.
I'm a prankster. I like pranks. That is relatively harmless, but there's still a little something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, chuckling about it, yes. Would I do it? No.
Right.
Would I have done it? No.
Because you're a normal person.
I guess. But I've heard worse.
Yeah, I've heard way worse. I just think, I don't know. I just think it's like, if you can avoid, look, we'll put it this way. If she broke up with you, now she's never getting back together with you, bro. Like,
yeah,
you are
burning
so bitter,
that bridge.
Yeah, that you had to do this silly prank.
So in addition to just that angle on this, it made me think of another part of this. This topic made me go off on a side branch, which is, why so many people feel like they need to take everything in their lives public, right? Like, why people need to go on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok for now, and just tell the entire world their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just got dumped, or my dog just passed away, or whatever. Like, I'm not saying never. Like, I understand there's a therapeutic part to it. But there are some things, like, I get, you know, a parent passes away, means something to you, and you just want to let the world know this person meant something. I get that. I don't get, like, why people want to put their dirty laundry out there.
I think it's just, I think it's a simple answer, and I think it's, they're at a low place, and it's a cheap and easy way to get some validation. It's like,
so you're looking for the pats on the back.
Yeah.
Or the sympathy.
Right. There's a subreddit called Am I Overreacting? And people basically post screenshots over all the time. They're like, am I overreacting? My boyfriend texted this to another girl. Or am I overreacting? My mother-in-law said this. And it's all it is airing dirty laundry. And the comment section is just, no, you're not. This is horrible. And it's like, why are you doing this on Reddit? Like, you know you're not. You know whether or not you're overreacting. Do you really need to, you don't have anyone in your life you can take this to and talk about it privately, or you have to put everybody in the situation.
Or the AITA stories.
Right, exactly like
where,
that.
You know,
exactly
am I
like
the
that.
E, you know? Like, am I the jerk? Am I the b-hole?
Yeah.
Like, if you're asking that, you probably have a suspicion that you might be.
Right.
And I will say, they're interesting. I don't know that I would ever want to put it out there myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I find them to be interesting stories because we all have these interactions, right? You have, like we were talking about earlier, with the mother-in-law that keeps eating off the plate of her daughter-in-law without permission and just doing it. Like, I get it. So if, in that case, yeah, she would be the jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that why we all are interested in those stories. I don't understand, unless you're legitimately not sure how to proceed in life with it and you don't have anybody you can ask.
Because
I would trust a person I know to give me good advice or to tell me I'm being a jerk rather than the general public.
Yeah, I'm
right.
With
like
you.
Would randos, because my people that know me are going to be, I would hope, more honest, but also they're going to understand where I'm at as opposed to just randos who might be like care, might not. Maybe they're just looking to make a joke at your expense.
Right. I agree with that. I do think, though, our culture has just kind of shifted into this whole thing where it's like, I'm going to crowdsource emotional support. So, like, maybe if the people in my life are sick of hearing me talk about it, or they're not going to tell me what I want to hear, I can present exactly my side of the story and no other side of the story.
It's because they won't know. The general public doesn't know the other side, where the people that know you might know more.
Right.
So you're shopping for the proper answers.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally shopping. Is that what you say it would be?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to make sure that the only thing you're going to get is the validation that you want.
Right.
Huh. Hmm. That seems tricky.
Does.
Like, because that means, cause sometimes you need to hear the hard things.
Yeah, but I think a lot of us don't want to hear.
Like, sometimes you need, like, I there are times I've needed to hear the hard things. You're being an idiot, or you're not good enough at this. You need to be better at it, because how do you get better if you're never being corrected or coached
mm-hmm.
or helped?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can use radio as an example. We have a boss. He coaches us. He helps us with things. And if you never said anything that you need to be better at, how do you get better?
But then don't you think there are so many people out there who have been like protected their whole lives? Like people who have never been coached. When they receive coaching for the first time, it's like, you're being so mean. You're being so rude. You're shaking this idea I had of myself. It's just harder to take that I just feel like with social media, not even with social media, but with just putting things out there where it's like, hey, it's my side of the story. I'm going to get what I want out of this. You can put yourself in this cocoon where you don't have to do anything difficult. You don't have to take any hard advice. You can just kind of be in denial and think that your way is the right way.
Man, sounds a lot like the ChatGPT girl in college class. I have to learn it my way.
Right.
That's still something bothering me. Yeah, it does. It does me too. And it has to start with, like, and again, I learned this from my experience as a kid and then later as a parent. But it's okay to tell your kids they're not good at something, or they're doing something wrong, or they need to do the hard thing or whatever, right? You need to take care of your kids. You need to nurture them and help them, but you're not helping them by being, what's the term that's been common lately? The snowplow parent that's just going to plow the path, the bulldozer parent that's just going to plow the clear path in front of their kid. That's not helping.
Mm-mm.
You are definitely not helping. That's for you more than the kid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make them better at what they need to be down the road. And this is kind of the same idea, where if you just want that path cleared in front of you to only get positive feedback, or to only do things the way that you're comfortable doing them, well, you're going to plateau.
Mm-hmm.
There're going to be things you cannot conquer. Because in most environments, people are not going to cater to your needs. They will if it's convenient for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
An employer will cater to your needs if it doesn't really disrupt anything, and they still get what they need, right, for the business to operate. But at some point, what was the other one we played a long time ago, where it was it might have been teenager, young 20 something that was like constantly showing up late for a job and got fired, and like, well, I don't understand why it's a problem if I just show up an hour late sometimes. You know, sometimes it just takes more time. Like, no, you don't understand the idea of a schedule. Like, people have to have things done, and they need people at the place of business for those things to get done. And it might have been someone complaining that they weren't getting hired for jobs because they were explaining that they weren't always going to be on time.
Oh, okay.
And the boss was like, well, if you're not going to be on time, I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Right. Like, if you can find a way to, whether you want to be an influencer or an entrepreneur where you can run your own business, well, then you can do it your way, right? And that's going to be just fine, but that's not an easy path, and there's a lot of risk, and it doesn't always work out the way that you would plan it to. At some point, people, all of us, need to learn that you got to give in,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to do the hard thing. Sometimes.
And it's better to learn that lesson earlier rather than later, because I feel like at 33, there's times where, like, it's like, yeah, I've been shielded from certain criticisms. And then whenever you whenever you hear it, it's like, ouch, this hurts, this sucks. But then I have to tell myself, like, hey, no pain, no gain. Like, you're not going to get better unless you change what you're doing. It's better to start that at a younger age than it is to try to change into adulthood.
It's also better. I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but I think you will. It's also better to hear that from someone you know has your interests in mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because later on, the person that gives it to you is not going to care about your feelings. They're not rooting for you. They just need you to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to do the thing, they're going to be a lot more harsh about it. And then it's going to also have real world consequences. You're going to get fired, or you're not going to get the job, or you're not going to get the promotion, or whatever. It's much easier to hear those tough things and be told to do the tough things from someone you know is looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's DGS. It's today Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
DGS on a Tuesday. I can't.
It's a weird week.
It's so stupid how the day of the week just escapes you.
I know.
Like, I do this all the time. Like, what day is it again?
I kept thinking yesterday was Tuesday, so I'm a little...
And we're past the holidays, so it shouldn't be weird anymore.
I know.
I'm just dumb.
You're not dumb.
At least in this way I am. Dave is out for the rest of the afternoon. He'll be back tomorrow. He is doing a story with Mike Bush about Nobody Dies Alone, and it's a really cool, obviously really cool program. And a great story that needs to be told. I'm glad it's going to get that attention on Channel 5. So I'm sure Dave will have some pretty cool stuff to tell us about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't know when it's going to air, but when we find out, obviously, we'll pass that along. All right, question for you two guys.
Okay.
I have an answer in my head, and I think I'm going to be... I think mine is accurate, but I'm curious what yours is. So you know about fantasy football punishments?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
If you finish last in your league, a lot of times there's a punishment that goes with it. So if you win money. And if you're in last place, sometimes you have to stand on a street corner in a clown suit and dance for 2 hours and hold a sign that says, I suck at fantasy football or something like that. Well, there's one league where the loser has to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But the rule is you can subtract an hour for every waffle that you eat.
Okay.
So how many hours are you actually going to be there? It's a little bit of a word problem. It's a little bit of a math problem when you're looking at it. So you're starting with 24 hours. How many hours would you actually spend based on the discount of one waffle eaten erases 1 hour?
I think I'd be there for 16 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
You can only eat 8 of them? And it's not like you don't have to eat them all right up front.
Okay.
So let's say, like, as an example, if you ate 4 an hour for 4 hours, you're already at 16. So that's already 16 eliminated. So it would only be 8 in that one. So I guess the question is, how many do you think you can eat per hour early on to knock off the time?
Okay, early on, I think I'd be able to eat 8. I think I'd be able to eat 8 in the first 2 hours.
All right.
Because, you know, take a couple breaks. And then I think I'd be able to, you know what, you're right. I think I'd be able to do another 8 later in the day, too.
Yeah.
So maybe I'd only be there 8 hours.
So the way that I was looking at it for me would be, I think I'd be pretty good for the first several hours of basically eating one every 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, I like waffles. Well, they're pretty good. They're pretty good size.
Okay.
I mean, they're the size of the plate.
Okay.
Right? So if you look at a typical restaurant plate, they're the size of the plate. It's not going to be small. It's not going to be super easy to pull off. So I'm trying to think if I could. I was figuring on about 5 in an hour, and then it's going to probably decrease a little bit as you go. So maybe 10 in the first 2 hours. That gets me down to 14 hours. I guarantee you I could still keep doing 3 or 4 an hour after that. So as I was going through this, I'm like, you know, I'll probably end up being there about 7 hours.
Okay.
7, maybe 8, because I think 8 would be low end. I mean, I'm sorry, high end.
Yeah.
I think I could knock off 16 pretty fast. That's 4 an hour for 4 hours. I don't think there's any issue. I don't think I'd have any issue with that. So I think I might be able to get out of there in 6 hours.
Nice.
It's not easy because waffles are heavy.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting syrup on there. You need to drink. But if you're if you have the incentive to not be there for 10 or 12 or 14 hours, you probably could force it.
Can you, like, be on your phone and stuff while you're at the Waffle House?
I think so. I don't think there's any restriction about, like, you have to be doing nothing but sitting there. I'm guessing you can just do normal things because I didn't see it written up that, you know, the only thing you're allowed to do is eat waffles. You can't be on your phone or whatever. But it would be, I mean, you're not going to feel very good at the end of that day unless you're willing to spend 12 hours. Now, if you did it, like, I'm going to spend 12 hours there. Well, you only need to do what? You only need to knock off 12 hours in that case. So you just have to eat 1 hour to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's too much. I'm not sitting at Waffle House for 12 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I think of all the places you would have to sit there, like Waffle House would be one of the better ones because that's pretty good people watching.
Yeah, no, and look, it's laid back too, right? It's not like...
You're not going to feel awkward.
It's not like a sit-down dinner place where, like, if you're there that long, people are going to be like, okay, buddy, you got
to
leave.
You're starting to smell. We need you to
leave.
Right,
you can just sit at the counter, right? You can, like, maybe sit in the corner of the counter. You're not in anybody's way. You don't even have to take up a whole table.
Mm-hmm.
Just take up one chair. You better tip nicely, though, if you're there for that long.
Oh, yeah.
And you better make sure you're tipping when the shift changes. So if somebody takes off, make sure they get taken care of.
What are you doing for your drink along with your waffle? Because that's important.
I mean, in that case, just have to be water.
Okay.
If I'm doing that, it's going to have to be water. I'm not putting anything else in there.
No extra calories?
No, definitely not that. Maybe some caffeine a little bit.
Coffee. Yeah. Well, you don't drink coffee.
No, but Diet Coke or whatever.
Okay. I might do an OJ to start.
I'm trying to think, man. So how many hours? So if I could knock off 4 an hour for the first 3 hours, that knocks off 12 hours total.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get it down.
You've already served your three.
What's that?
And you've already served.
And I've already done three, right? So I have to get five more at that point. Nine more at that
point. Radio people trying to do math.
Yeah. Nine more at that point. I mean, you really have to think about, if you really want to shorten the day, you're thinking 4 an hour for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can just go like 8 in the first hour. I don't think you can. That's a lot. And then maybe, you know, gradually less and less as you go. I kind of want to find out, but I kind of don't.
We should do fantasy. Well, it's too late now. Never mind.
We'll figure it out.
We could do fantasy baseball.
We could just do a waffle challenge.
Yeah, that'd be fun, too.
Do the show live? What do you think?